The 50th World Eucharistic Congress is underway in Dublin, Ireland this week after an opening mass and opening ceremony yesterday afternoon in the Royal Dublin Society Arena. Emer McCarthy is in Dublin, where she spoke with Bazilian Father Thomas Rozica, the president of Canada's Catholic Salt and Light television network. Father Rozica says the Congress presents a great opportunity for the Church to deliver a lasting message of hope.
You know, the difference between the Church making its voice heard and public institutions or agencies or other things in the world making their voice heard, in the world, it depends on how loud you are, how boisterous you can be, how critical or how devastating you can be towards other people. Whereas in the Church, the goal of getting our voice heard is through consistency of the message, perseverance, and also offering a message of hope. Much of the messaging we hear from political institutions really presents a false hope. You know, do this today and you'll be successful tomorrow. Whereas the Church is offering another type of hope. So consistency, perseverance, and also content. You know, we're not into sound bites. You cannot soundbite the Church. As important as Twitter might be in 140 letters, the Church's message and beauty cannot be reduced to simple sound bites or quick fixes or a big splash. So the media may certainly be critical about the Eucharistic Congress, as the media is critical about World Youth Days and any ecclesial event. But let's be careful when we say media, because there are some people working in the media who have brains and intelligence and recognize the deeper things that are happening, while others focus in on the big splash, the numbers, the effect, and they almost have to take a counterpoint to everything that's happening. It's important to remember that those counterpoints only last for 2 or 3 days, and the beauty endures and rises to the top. So I'm sure that, you know, during this week, you'll have some positive stories in Ireland or coming out of Ireland. You'll have all kinds of negative things and people unearthing all kinds of nonsense. That'll pass, and the deep things will last, because the people that are coming here will be changed, and they become multipliers of taking this beauty back to their local churches.
Archbishop Martin said this Congress is not a popularity contest. It's not about the numbers. It's about how people participate. They're gathering to pray. Over 1,000 have come from Canada and North America, but there are also smaller groups of pilgrims from all over the world. I think it was Cardinal Ouellette who hosted the last Congress, who described the Congress in Quebec as a turning point for the Church in Quebec. Was it really that way?
I worked with Cardinal Ouellette for 4 years, 5 years, in preparing for the Eucharistic Congress in 2008. It followed, as you know, the World Youth Day in 2002, which we're celebrating its 10th anniversary. The World Youth Day in Canada was a turning point as well. The backdrop of the World Youth Day for Canada was, of course, the massive sex abuse in North America, all kinds of political crises, September the 11th, and that becomes the stage against which an ecclesial event unfolds and explodes onto the scene. The Eucharistic Congress in Quebec was more than a turning point. Cardinal Ouellette then and now continues to say it was a resurrection of sorts, that a church that was believed to be dormant, a church that was not producing fruit, suddenly came alive. I will never forget the Eucharistic Congress in Quebec, because it was almost a public proclamation that we are here, we are alive, and there is still life here pulsating under the surface. The Eucharistic Congress will do the same here. The huge challenges in Ireland, economic and political challenges, the sex abuse crisis that Ireland has gone through, the lack of credibility and trust in its church leaders. This event takes place to let the world and the church know in Ireland that we're here, we're alive, and there is tremendous hope under the surface.
You're going to be giving a keynote speech. You were invited to give one of the keynote speeches, one of the interventions during the week of catechesis and workshops, and you're going to be giving it on Thursday, I believe, looking at the joy of priesthood. That's a challenge when we see a decline in vocation. So what will you be talking about, and how will you communicate this message to the people who will come to listen to you?
When they invited me to do this a year ago, I remember smiling and saying, shouldn't it be the crisis of the priesthood or the lack of vocations or the mess in your country? I'm very glad they asked me to speak about the joy, because I'm not talking about superficial joy, but I'm going to go to the heart of the priesthood, the gift of the priesthood to the church, and look at those central pillars, if you will, the elements of the priesthood, which are cause for deep joy. I'm going to speak particularly about the priest, as modeling his life on Jesus who washes feet. Jesus who does not put himself in a pedestal or demand some kind of false honors, but Jesus who gets up from the table and washes the feet of his friends. I'm going to speak about the deep joy of the priesthood, unlike the superficial joy and laughter and giddiness of the world, but the joy that really makes the world go around. I'm going to talk about the priest as a friend of the saints and a model of holiness. The priest is an agent of the new evangelization. And it comes with a year of reflection in preparing that. I shared the ideas with my staff just before leaving in Toronto, and they're all young adults, and they said, no, that's exactly what the priesthood is. So that's what I'm going to try to do, is say that despite everything that's happened, and because of everything that's happened, the world and the church need priests. The opposite of a priest is a consumer, somebody who amasses, spends, and everything else, and thinks about himself. A priest is somebody who spends himself for others. And in a world that's highly consumer, we need the example of the priest right now, not only for the church, but for the world.